Hi, lovely to be with you again this morning. Let's read our story today from Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 to 27. He got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake, so the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us! We're going to drown!" He replied, "You have little faith. Why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the wind and the waves, and it was completely calm. And the men were amazed. Asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." The Gospels are extraordinary, aren't they? Reading them is like peering into a crystal clear mountain lake and wondering how deep it is. These five verses are very short, but they're incredibly profound. And that's a bit of a challenge for someone like me who's committed to fairly short messages. So I'll do my best and let's pray as we set out together on this little voyage. Lord Jesus, you are amazing. And we love you. And we worship you. As we read these verses together and think about them, please, will you speak by your Spirit into our hearts and give us faith to respond. So may the words of my lips and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and redeemer, speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. Amen. Amen. When I first started trying to get to grips with the Bible, I decided the point of this story was that Jesus has authority over the physical world. We can't really argue with that as a truth, but I don't think it's what Matthew had in mind when he included it in his gospel account of Jesus. And a little bit later on, I started learning to read the gospels as first century Jewish stories. Now, like every other culture, that culture had specific beliefs and symbols. Israel has a very long coastline, but it wasn't a seafaring nation. The sea was dark and dangerous and mysterious. In the creation story, we see creation drawn out of the surging waters of chaos. In Daniel, the great beasts came out of the sea towards God's people to come and attack them out of the sea. In the great vision of the new creation at the end of Revelation, we read, there was no longer any sea. So to a first century Jew, the sea was a picture of the reservoir of chaos and evil. So in light of that cultural understanding of the sea, maybe Matthew's point is a little bit more like this. Jesus has authority over the great reservoir of chaos and evil. Now later still, I began to realise that the New Testament is basically a commentary on the Old Testament in light of Jesus being the Messiah. So the New Testament is a commentary on the Old Testament in light of Jesus being the Messiah. Again and again, the New Testament draws on images and stories from the Old Testament to teach us about Jesus and about salvation. So then, what are the great sea stories from the Old Testament? Well, one of them is the story of the Hebrews being rescued from the power of Pharaoh through the waters of the Red Sea. And this, of course, is the great illustration of salvation in the Old Testament. We are the slaves of sin who are brought into relationship with God through the waters of baptism. So by painting Jesus as the one who delivers us through the sea, Matthew is saying that Jesus is the one who brings us salvation, new life. But I guess there's another Old Testament sea story that is even more in view in this story, and that is the story of Jonah. Now, if you know the story of Jonah, Jonah was asleep in the boat during a great storm, just like Jesus is asleep in the boat during this storm. And the sailors, like the disciples, were terrified they were going to drown. And so they went and woke Jonah up and said, "Jonah, Jonah, what are we going to do?" And Jonah told them, "If you throw me into the sea, then the sea will become calm." So Jonah was thrown or buried in the sea and in the fish. And then he was resurrected, or possibly fish vomited, into becoming what God had always called him to be in the first place, God's messenger to the nations. Now, the parallels between the Jonah story and this story that Jesus is calming the storm are obvious, but maybe the significance isn't so obvious yet. So we'll come back to Jonah, the reluctant missionary, in a moment. So this is a story. It's a first century Jewish story, and it's a first century Jewish story drawing on the Old Testament. And now I'm starting to learn to read the Gospels as a story that explains who Jesus is and what he's all about to us. Now, that one Gospel story is made up of lots and lots of little stories, each of which fit into place to tell the big story. It's like a jigsaw puzzle. You have to work out how the pieces fit together to see the big picture clearly. So, what's going on around this story in Matthew? In Matthew chapters 5 to 7, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gave a blueprint of his kingdom. That's followed in the beginning of chapter 8 with a series of healing stories. Jesus and his kingdom restore and transform lives. Next, Jesus announced that he was going to cross the lake. But tucked in just before he does, almost in brackets, we have this little story about people saying they want to follow Jesus and Jesus telling them that they should count the cost before they set off. Then we come to our story, which moves the gospel action across the Sea of Galilee. And that is a big deal, because Jesus was moving his kingdom project from a Jewish area to a non-Jewish area, hence all the pigs. And now we can start to see all the different themes coming together. Jesus was establishing his kingdom. He was transforming lives. People were getting excited. But this wasn't going to be a private Jewish party. This was a party for the whole world. Jesus, just like Jonah, was going to announce his kingdom and his salvation to the nations. And many of the Jews were not going to like that. And Jesus was going to face lots and lots of opposition. So this, at its heart, I believe, is a story about Jesus having authority to overcome all the forces of sin and evil that will confront us if we take seriously his call to take the good news to the whole world. To become a Christian is not just to get a personal ticket to heaven. To become a Christian is to become a follower of Jesus, part of God's people. And those are the people who God has commissioned to take the good news about Jesus to the whole world. So, talking to people about Jesus is not an add-on for super keen Christians. It is the basic, fundamental call to all followers of Jesus. And so since Jesus is taking his good news to the nations, then if we're not part of that, then we're not following Jesus, because that's where Jesus is going. And if that makes us uncomfortable, then it's hardly surprising, because it's certainly going to be difficult and we're going to face opposition. And so we need to count the cost. But the one who we're following has authority over every obstacle we face. Now, I believe that is much more the central point that Matthew is making in this story about Jesus. A few years ago, I became the minister of a small church in an Orthodox Jewish area within a very deprived part of Gateshead in the northeast. Since I've taken on that job, I've lost a son. My associate minister has lost her father figure and has been diagnosed with a very rare genetic disorder, which is radically affecting what she can eat. And she's just had a nasty fall, which has done damage to her spinal cord, meaning she's in very serious pain most of the time. In addition to all of that, the developer that was renovating our church buildings has left us with debts that could sink us as a church. Now, I'm not given to over-spiritualize everything that happens. Life is full of hard stuff. But if we take reaching out to people seriously, we should expect storms to follow. I think the point of this story is not that if we follow Jesus, it will all be plain sailing. Yes, Jesus calmed the storm. But what do we read in the next story? His disciples find themselves facing a demoniac in a graveyard and an avalanche of pigs. Bacon rolls, graveyards, and good Jewish boys don't really go so well together. The point of this story is not primarily about the storms at all. Storms, opposition, evil, chaos are part of life. And they get amplified when we set out seriously to serve God. The point of this story is to bring us to the last verse. What kind of man is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. When we see Jesus as he truly is, then the storms come back into their right perspective and we can carry on. To take Jesus seriously is to take his command seriously, to share his good news with everyone, everywhere, whether that's around the world or the person next door or our family or our workplace, our sports team, our friends, or people we don't know yet. Taking Jesus seriously inevitably means we're going to face opposition. But Jesus has authority over all creation. Life will often be a struggle. But if we see Jesus for who he is, that gives us faith to persevere and to carry on. In this world, you will have trouble, warned Jesus, but take heart. I have overcome the world. So, in its most general terms, this is a story about Jesus having power over the physical world. But I think the deeper meaning of the story is that Jesus and seeing him for who he really is will help us persevere as we take the good news about him and his kingdom and his salvation beyond people who are just like us to anyone who God brings across our path. Amen. I'll read the story again and then I'll pray. Then Jesus got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Without warning, a furious storm came up upon the lake, so the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." He replied, "You have little faith. Why are you so afraid?" And then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. And the men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Just take a moment in silence for you to respond to God in your heart in any way that he might have spoken to you, and then I'll pray. Who is this man? Jesus, you are amazing, and we love you, and we worship you. Help us to trust you, to obey you. Father, I pray even this week we might have lots of opportunities to share our hope in you with other people. Please bless us. Please make us fruitful. Please help us to fix our eyes on you and to persevere, not to give up at the first sign of difficulty, but to see you. Thank you for your heart for us. Thank you for your heart for the world around us. Thank you for calling us to be your ambassadors. Please take us, bless us, and use us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you very much.